1. Let's read those words again that Duncan read at the start of the service. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Amen. A number of years ago, Captain D, don't know if that was just because they wanted to shorten his surname or whether it was one of these Papa D expressions these days of affection, I've no idea, but a number of years ago, Captain D commanded a vessel sailing from Liverpool to New York. On one voyage, he had all of his family with him on board the ship. And one night, when all were quietly asleep, there arose a sudden squall of wind which came sweeping over the waters until it struck the vessel and instantly threw her on her side, tumbling and crashing everything that was movable and awakening the passengers to an alarmed and a consciousness that they were in imminent peril. Everyone on board was alarmed and uneasy, and some sprang from their berths and began to dress that they might be ready for the worst. Captain D had a little girl on board, just 8 years old, who of course awoke with the rest. "What's the matter?" said the frightened child. And they told her that a squall had struck the ship. "Is father on deck?" she said. "Yes, father's on deck." The little thing dropped immediately back onto her pillow without a fear, and in a few moments was sleeping sweetly in spite of the wind and the waves. The little girl felt safe because her dad was awake and taking care of the situation. Sometimes we get problems or crises that happen in our lives, and we can have a hard time sleeping because of all the fear and the anxiety. Who's going to take care of the problem? Well, the answer's simple, isn't it? God is. The Lord is. And he's always on duty. He never sleeps, and that means that you can find peace and sleep. The psalmist knew that too, which is why he wrote Psalm 121. This is a cry of confidence. As he lifted his eyes from his current situation and predicament, he recalled that his help comes from the Lord. The Lord it is who made the heavens and the earth, so he knows how life works. The Lord it is who made us, who knows how we function too and what we need when we need it. He also recognized that God watches over him all the time. He never sleeps. And he knew that the Lord would not let any harm come upon him that he could not handle. What a wonderful reminder that our hope and our confidence is in God alone. Last week we began this series, The Songs for the Journey, looking at the Psalms of Ascent. We noted that this little hymn book, Psalms 120 through 134, were songs that the Jews would sing and recite as they made their way up to Jerusalem for the various festivals that they went to celebrate. I said that these songs come in triplets. The first, a cry of despair, then a cry of trust, before finishing with some rejoicing and the security of knowing that God is with us. Last week we started with a cry of distress. We saw that in such times of trouble, we ought to pray, we ought to trust, we ought to patiently endure as we await the better day coming. God is there, and he hears and he answers prayer. This week, we get to see some trust and faith shining through in this next song. This is a cry of confidence. The psalmist knows whose eyes are upon him, and he knows where to look for help. The psalm very easily splits into two parts for us. The first two verses are the very clear testimony of the psalmist lifting his eyes and firmly placing them heavenward. He's looking to God. In verse 3, the pronouns change and his focus is clearly on God and the ways in which God watches over us. So let's have a look at the psalm tonight through those two lens, if it were. Firstly, we see the call to keep your eye on God. Keep your eyes on God. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Remember last week that I said Jerusalem was built on a hill, and no matter what way you came at it, you had to climb. There was an ascent, hence the name of this group of songs. And as he begins and makes his journey towards Jerusalem, the psalmist finds himself lifting his eyes to the hills that are in front of him. And there are two ways to look at this, two aspects of what the psalmist is doing. Here is a pilgrim starting out on a journey. And as he looks upward towards the horizon, those distant hills present something of a challenge to him. They are steep, and sometimes the trails are dangerous. Many travelers have had disastrous falls when their feet have slipped on rocky pathways. And there are thieves and there are bandits in the mountains around Jerusalem, as we saw in that parable that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. The path is steep, it's uphill. And perhaps our traveler is older and he's worried that he might not have the strength to make it all the way. He lifts his eyes to the hills and he sees challenges. He sees danger. He sees adversity. It is a rigorous, dangerous journey. And so it is with life's pilgrimage, isn't it? We're going to encounter some amount of difficulty and danger along the way. Where will our help come from? Where will we find someone to give us strength and safety for the mountains of life? The psalmist said, I lift my eyes to the hills. I see the danger. I see the difficulty. I see some of the struggles that will be before me on the way. And he says, where does my help come from? He says, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from God. We are to keep our eyes on God. Of course, it's not simply the struggles and the dangers the psalmist sees as he lifts his eyes. No, as he lifts his eyes to the hills, he is reminded of God. He remembers God and his spirit is lifted. He rejoices that he is heading towards God's dwelling place to worship and to adore him. And so what we find here is the psalmist recalling God's presence. In the midst of lifting his eyes, he is reminded of God's presence. He's heading for Jerusalem. He's going to the temple. He's heading to the place where they believe that God dwells in his sanctuary. William MacDonald, a commentator, explains the temple in Jerusalem as the dwelling place of God on earth. The glory cloud in the Holy of Holies signifies the Lord's presence among his people. The city of Jerusalem is situated on a mountain and is surrounded by mountains. So when a Jew in other parts of Israel needed divine help, he looked towards the hills. To him, it was the same as looking to the Lord. And throughout the Psalms, we see this recognition of God dwelling in his temple. In Psalm 3 in verse 4, to the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. Psalm 20 and verse 2. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. That great psalm, Psalm 46, where we learn to be still. He begins that psalm by saying, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble. And of course, in Psalm 134, may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Reminders that God dwells in his sanctuary, that that is where they look for their help that comes. And of course, in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 29 and following, we see the same. Solomon comes to dedicate the temple and he prays there. in 1 Kings 8 and 29, he prays, "May your eyes be open toward this temple day and night, this place of which you said, 'My name shall be there,' so that you will hear the prayer your servant prays towards this place." What the psalmist is doing, as he's lifting his eyes from his current situation and the problems that surround him, from those early steps of the long journey that lies in front of him, and he is placing his eyes on God. He is looking to God. He trusts in God and relies upon God. And as he asks where his help comes from, notice that it's not from the hills themselves. It's not from the hills. There is no power in them, despite the fact that in the day this was written, the hills were places of idolatry and false religion. This writer of the Psalms knows that he will not find help in anything that is false. None of the idols of the heathen can offer the help that he needs. His help comes only from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Five times in this psalm, the psalmist identifies his helper as the Lord. The word is Yahweh, the covenant name of God. This name identifies him as a self-existent, eternal, unchanging God who is over all, who controls all, and is in all. This name identifies him as the God who keeps all of his promises he makes to his people. And so the psalmist turned his attention to the Lord. He looked to the one who had made everything. And he basically said to himself, "I lift my eyes to the hills and I remind myself that the God who made these mountains is the same God who made me and is watching over me." He knew that the real source of his help was Almighty God. Our helper, friends, is none other than the very one who stood on the edge of nothing and made everything with the word of his power. He is able to help you and he's able to help me. What he's done in the past, he can and he will do in the present and in the future. He has not changed. He is the source of our help. We won't find the help we need in the world around us. Doesn't matter how well-meaning and how good somebody else is, our ultimate help is found in the Lord himself. So the first cry of confidence here is that you keep your eyes on God. Don't put your eyes anywhere else. Don't let them dwell on your problems. Don't let them dwell on the hard situation that you're in. Don't let them dwell on the pain that you suffer. Don't let them dwell on the anxiety that is all around you. Lift your eyes and fix them on God alone. Psalmist then focuses on the other side of that. And he focuses on the fact that the Lord is watching over us. He recognizes that not only are we to continually look to God, but God keeps his eyes on us as well. And this always amazes me and it always thrills me. God keeps his eyes on me. He keeps his eyes on you. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how you feel. God's eyes are on you. And so the psalmist does this in various ways, and he speaks of the various ways and various purposes that God has his eyes on us for. And it's not hard to recognize this as a focus, for six times in these final six verses, he uses a Hebrew word there, shamar. And that word shamar in the Hebrew is very much like our English word keep. It's got a variety of meanings, but in this connection, it literally means to keep a close watch on something, to exercise great care over something. God watches over us. He takes great care of us. He keeps a close eye on us. So be encouraged tonight as you remember that God keeps his eye on us. In verse 3, we see God's provision. Let me just break it down a few ways. God's provision. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. There will be times when life is tough and difficult, and God will be there to provide the support and the encouragement that we need. This verse tells us that the Lord will not allow our feet to slip. God knows how easy it is for us to slip into sin and into discouragement. We must remember that he is ever with us, and he has promised to sustain us with his presence and with his power. God watched over these pilgrims individually as they journeyed. On the rough paths, paths that they trod through the hills, they could so easily have slipped. And yet we read that God will not allow their feet to slip. And so metaphorically, he talks of our journey through life as well. Our feet steady us. They keep us standing. And God watches over us that we might not slip from grace and fall. And yet as he watches over us, he does not stop all harm from coming our way. For we've been made with free minds that we might choose what to do. And he longs to help us stay on the straight and the narrow. But when we take our eyes off of him, we are prone to slip. But you know what? God is always ready, always there trying to encourage us not to fall. And he's still there when we do fall to pick us up, to dust us off, and to get us back on that journey again. God's provision. Verse 4, there's God's promise. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God promises his constant watch over us. We might slip, we will definitely sleep, by the way, but God is alert and he is awake always. There are times when we grow weary and when we want to rest. There are times when we let our guard down and get caught napping, but not so with the Lord. He is ever awake, he's ever active on our behalf. He doesn't weary, he doesn't tire, he doesn't fall asleep at the wheel. Therefore, there is no need for you and for me to worry. There's no need for us to fret. There is no need for you to lose one moment's sleep at any time because of this problem or that problem or the next problem. God is ever awake. He's constantly on the job. What a blessing to know that we can depend upon him. And there's an old famous story about a woman who was too worried one night to sleep. And she had a great problem and was keeping, and it just kept keeping her awake, this problem, as she thought on it. And finally, she opened her Bible in the wee hours, and it fell open to this verse. And having read it, she closed her Bible and she said, "Well, Lord, if you're going to stay awake, I'm going to bed. There's no point in both of us staying awake." Not a wonderful thought. Or the story from back in the days of World War II when the Germans were bombing London all night long, every night. And after one terrible attack, the people of London began to search through the rubble looking for the dead and the injured. And after a while, all had been accounted for except one grandmother, a Mrs. Smith. And they searched everywhere for her and finally found her in her bedroom, sleeping in her bed. And they were shocked and they asked her, "Mrs. Smith, how could you sleep with all those bombs dropping around you?" And her answer is priceless and true. She said, "Well, the Bible says that he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I decided that there was no use in both of us staying up, so I went to sleep and left it in the Lord's hands." Trust, confidence in God's promises. God promises to watch over us all night long. His eyes are always, always upon us. There is no time, in fact, when God does not know where we are and what is going on. Do you remember Psalm 139? That has to be one of, I don't know how many favorite psalms I've got. Every one of them is a favorite, isn't it? Psalm 139 in verse 7, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." God is always there. Remember that promise. Hold on to that promise. Sleep in peace and stillness because God is there. Verses 5 and 6, we're reminded of God's protection. As he watches over us, he protects us. He ensures that no harm comes our way by day or night. You know, our Lord is not only on the throne looking down on us, but by his Spirit, he is at our side to shield us from harm. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that obedient believers will never find themselves in difficulty or danger, or they'll never feel physical or emotional pain, because of course we do. The things that God permits to happen to us in his will, it may hurt us, but they will never harm us. David had many experiences that brought heartache and even threatened his life, but the Lord enabled him to turn those seeming tragedies into beautiful psalms that encourage us today, don't they? And there are two main areas of protection there. In verses 5 and 6, he protects us from our enemies. So verse 5 says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. You know, in ancient times, warriors carried two items into battle. One was the sword and the other was the shield. And normally the shield was carried by the left hand, since the right hand was stronger and able to use the sword to attack. But that meant that the right side was vulnerable to attack, since there was no shield of protection upon it. And the psalmist is telling us there that the Lord takes up a deliberate defensive position to protect us where we are most vulnerable. You know, we never know where the attacks of the evil one will come. Sometimes we find attacks in areas where we are weak. Our enemy knows all about our weaknesses, doesn't he? Other times we may find that we are attacked in areas where we are the strongest. And the point here is that God is always ready and he is always watching. Nothing catches him off guard. Trust him, rely upon him, and thank him always for looking out for you. Verse 6 lets us know that he protects us not just from our enemies, but also from the elements. Get done with that on my holiday probably. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Israel was a land where the temperatures rose during the day and then where they dropped dramatically at nighttime. And these pilgrims would be on a journey to Jerusalem for days. They would walk by day and camp at night. And they faced the extremes of sunstroke and freezing. Day and night, our Father is with us to shelter us from that which would harm us. On top of this, some believe that in the ancient world, as well as sunstroke, you could get moonstroke. We had a moonstroke. Moonstroke, unlike sunstroke, did not affect the body though, but it affected the mind. In ancient times, mental illness was thought to be caused by the moon, and that's where we get that word lunatic that was often used to refer to someone who had a mental disturbance. It was that moonstroke at night. And what we have here, though, is the psalmist reminding us that God protects our bodies and God protects our minds. He watches over us. He protects us from all harm. God is our refuge and our strength. When troubling times come, would you run to him? Would you rely upon him? And lastly, in these final two verses, let's see God's preservation. God keeps us from harm, and he prepares us for eternity. He watches over us always. And again, two aspects of God's preservation. In verse 7, he preserves us from evil. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The King James translates that, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The ESV, in keeping with the use of the word shamar, says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Listen, we are a sinful people who live in a sin-filled world. There is incredible pressure within us and around us to sin, and Paul understood that. Do you remember the great words he used in Romans 7 as he was trying to describe the struggles that he had and he faced? In Romans 7 and verse 18, he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Is there then no hope for us? Of course there is. The Lord will help us overcome evil in this life if we have that desire in our hearts. He will give us the strength and the courage and the determination to root out sin and to live for him alone. He will protect us from the evil one. And of course, there's also an evil that comes against us from the world around. The Lord makes sure that all evil is kept from harming us, so it might hurt us from time to time, but the damage won't be lasting. He turns the evil that comes upon us into good. Was it not Joseph That wonderful young boy who had that coat of many colors, who grew up and having been sold into slavery by his brothers after languishing in prison following false accusations from Potiphar's wife, who met his brothers again during the years of famine and said to them, "You intended to harm me." Or in the New King James, "You meant evil against me, but God intended it for good." Or Paul's words in Romans 8 and 28, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." God preserves us from evil. And be encouraged, finally, that he preserves us for eternity. And that great bit, verse 8, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going when? Both now and forevermore." Evermore. The psalmist encourages us that God is with us while we're here on earth. He watches over our coming and our going. He is with us in the daily activities of life. Yes, our Father in heaven is concerned about our tasks and about our schedules and even the so-called minor details that we often take for granted. He is interested in what you're going to be doing tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. He's going to be interested in what you're doing at 10 o'clock. He's going to be interested in what you're doing at 2 minutes past 10, 2.5 minutes past 10. He's interested in every minor detail of your life. He cares for us. Peter recognized that in 1 Peter 5 and 7 when he said, "Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you." He's interested in all that we do. But more than that, he promises to preserve us for eternity. He says both now and forevermore. This psalm ends very much like Psalm 23 for me. It says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The sure and certain hope of every believer is that eternity spent with the Lord. Ours is a priceless, endless guarantee. This is simply a reminder of the wonderful doctrine of the security of the believer in Jesus. We are preserved forever. What a glorious joy and what a cry of confidence. Friends, as we journey through life with all of its ups and all of its downs, with all of its joys and every one of its sorrows, with all of its pain, with all of its suffering, let's remember the hope that we have. Let's remember the God that we love and serve. And let's remember his wonderful promises above all else. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. Keep your eyes on God and be encouraged tonight that God keeps his eyes on you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a wonderful psalm that always encourages our hearts every time we read it.